This is The John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Welcome to this week's John Richardson Show podcast. There's a tension in the studio. It's obviously an emotional moment. It's Will's last show. I'd love to say we're ending just with a celebration of Will's work, but unfortunately, Will gobbed off last week. aided and abetted by Angela, who you'd think would have learned her lesson, having eaten.
I will never learn.
It's just that the failure on the Ferrero Rocher was so incredible. You managed three in a minute, and now you find yourself staring at 15 fish fingers.
God, and it smells like school dinners.
It really smells like fish fingers. Enjoy today's podcast. We had some lovely texts on things you've slept through. We talked about a different angle on the Britpop summer. And we talked about you two gobbing off about how you could eat 15 fish fingers. So enjoy the podcast. At the end, you'll get to find out whether Will leaves the John Richardson Show as a World Cup equaling producer or a vomiting man. See you after. Well, good morning. Happy Saturday. Welcome along to Absolute Radio. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes.
Hello. Good morning.
And once again, a triple-headed production team.
It's busy in here this morning, isn't it?
Is it Cerberus? What's the three-headed dog?
Yeah, Cerberus.
We've got a Cerberus of production here with Will, Izzy and Dan. It's basically two in it because Will's already gone.
Yeah,
Will's last show today.
On the beach.
The attitude on him.
Oh my God. Talk about D-Mob happy.
I said to him just before that, we were chatting about music because real music matters, yeah? It's what we talk about off air, yeah, music and that.
Yeah.
I said, I didn't know Cortinas was your favourite brand. He went, yeah, is that all right, mate? I mean, unbelievable.
Very defensive this morning.
Anyway, are you all right?
I'm good, yeah.
Everyone's a bit tired, aren't they? Everyone's a little bit tired.
It's been an early start this morning.
Yeah, and the heat's dropped, hasn't it? And we all thought we'd sleep better, and then we haven't.
Yeah,
because we were excited.
Yeah.
Right, we always start with what we call the unfinished business, because we are not the cleanest show on the radio, but we are certainly the tidiest. So if you couldn't be with us last week, here's what you missed. I'm not being funny.
Wow. Is that it? That's the clip?
Who's that then? Is that Dan or is that Will? That's Dan's debut, is it? On picking the clip.
Wow. Well, we know where we're going when Will's gone, don't we?
I'm just
going
to make a note on the appraisals. And that note is, I'm just writing down, tonal shift. that's really out of context. I mean, sadly, I don't think it is out of context.
No, what was that about? What were you...
It could be anything, couldn't it? Depressing, mate.
It was a review of the show, wasn't it?
You should be able to identify exactly when you said that as a comedian, but sadly, it could be at any point in my career. Message me on Instagram. Anyway.
So that's it, is it? That's unfinished business. I'm not being funny. Yeah. Were you talking about... We were doing some...
I think it was a rant. It sounds like a precursor to a rant, doesn't it? But it's been used against me by Dan. And you've, in fairness, you've never gone that way with it.
No, I haven't, no.
You've always just, it's the filth with you, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what you're like.
Yeah.
The smut.
Yeah. Very funny, Dan. I like that. I appreciate that. Now, we also chatted last week about how the show had had its trip to the darts. Will's leaving do at Blackpool.
Blackpool darts. Oh, yeah.
Myself and Angela had offset that by doing some very middle-class activities.
I went to Sandringham Flower Show.
That sounds good. Say garden festival, but that's not what they call
them,
is it?
Same thing.
And I made quite a big claim. Not only did I go and play tennis, I joined a tennis club.
Did you go to Wimbledon last week?
Oh, your face.
You're that guy, aren't you, who goes to Wimbledon and goes, this is what I'm going to do now. That is what... No, you can't defend that. You went to Wimbledon and you went, I want... This is the lifestyle I want,
actually. This is a bit of me.
This is a little bit of me. Oh. I'm going to join my local tennis club and I'm going to play tennis. And you've played tennis this week. I don't reckon we'll hear about tennis again.
No, I don't think we will.
Let's find out if you are that guy, John. Have you played tennis again?
Listen, I...
Answer the question, John. No prevaricating, answer the question.
I'm not being funny. So on with the show. I would love to have played tennis this week. Unfortunately, I was very busy with the charity football game that I played this
week.
Oh, please.
What, that took a week, did it?
It took a week for me to be able to walk again, Angela. we'll get to that later. I did message a friend about playing tennis this week. Does that count?
Nope.
No? Okay, right. We've arranged to go to the gym. We also had a rather brilliant Angela Yarns last week, where we told what turned out to be a true story about Angela's father being one of the people who introduced the potato waffle to the UK, and that inspired Marsh to get in touch.
Morning, John, Angela and team. Regarding the chat around potato waffles in Angela's Yarns last week, I was just wondering if any of you had ever had a potato waffle stack. In its most basic form, you go waffle, cheese slice, beans, waffle, cheese slice, beans. You can also add in sausage, bacon and egg, plus any condiment of your choosing. One of the best breakfast slash brunch items you can get. Marsh Worcester.
Wow. What a visionary Marsh is.
Yeah, he's basically using it as the bread of a sandwich, basically.
Yeah.
But it's got holes in it. As soon as he said beans, I was like, well, they're slipping
but
through the cracks.
But they'll slip through onto the cheese. That's lovely. On a
onto
plate.
The cheese, sure.
I mean, he's not asking you to eat it like a sandwich.
I think he is.
I don't think he is.
I think that's a
knife and fork job.
I think he's imagining me just in my underpants eating it with all the beans and cheese going down my chest. I think he's imagining.
On the topic of my father-in-law and the waffles, he did listen to the... Well, my husband sent him the link to the podcast. And he said to my husband, I fast forwarded to the bit where you talked about it because the show wasn't for me.
Well, good morning and happy Saturday to everyone except Angela's father-in-law. And why not message the person for whom the show isn't for them this morning and tell them to join in? Everyone's got up too early.
Yeah.
But I had a night last night where I just embraced that I wasn't going to sleep, and I just thought I'd basically just push through.
Yeah, I was a bit like that. Usually I get myself so wound up then I can't sleep. But
that's
last
it.
Night I actually just thought, well, I slept in little bits, you know, and it's fine.
It's the fear of not waking up, isn't it? With the not, I don't mean that in a somber way.
That's always a fear you get to our age, John, isn't it? Eh?
Actually, embrace that. The fear is that you're going to, especially once you get to about 2 or 3 and you're like, oh no, I'm going to, but
if
luckily.
If I sleep now, that'll be it.
I asked my daughter to record me a new alarm sound this week.
Oh, did you?
I always think I have quite a gentle alarm sound, but then there's just that fear that you're not going to wake up to the sound of waves or something. So I said to her, I'll just leave you alone with voice memos on my phone. This is what I woke up to at 5:30 this morning.
Wake up, idiot! Wake up!
That goes on for about 30 seconds.
Actually, can you send that to me? That's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't ask her to say idiot. There's a little bald moron thrown in there, I think, as well. I just want you to know when you guys pick the clip and embarrass me, that's what I wake up to. You're going to have to up your game if you want to hurt my feelings. 5:30 in the morning, wake up, you moron.
Can you guess what tune I wake up to? What my alarm clock is?
The Archer's theme tune.
No, that would be good though, wouldn't it?
But
I'd get too excited that the Archers was coming on and then I'd start the day let down, so that's no good. I do like to be beside the seaside, I wake up to.
Wow.
Because I think that's a nice jolly, and you wake up
it
going, oh,
jolly.
I do live by the seaside. What a nice life.
That would have just annoyed me.
Would it?
I don't live by the seaside.
Oh, yeah.
I live miles away from the seaside. I've never slept through an alarm or anything.
You must have.
I slept through some missed calls. When I was, for our A-levels leaving due, we got our A-levels results, and then we went to someone's garden and had a bottle of champagne.
Mm.
And we all agreed we'd go home and get
champagne?
Changed.
Champagne?
Well, it would have been
cider.
Carver or something, wouldn't it? Went home, woke up like 6 hours later with a sandwich on my chest on the couch. We just completely missed our A-levels leaving due. I think that's the only thing I've ever slept through.
I sleep through, well, because I'm hard of hearing, so I don't sleep in my hearing aids. So I sleep through things all the time. I've slept through an earthquake.
I slept through an earthquake.
In New Zealand, I was, my husband and I were in New Zealand in a hotel in Wellington. And he woke up in the middle of the night and the room, it was sort of an earthquake-proof hotel. You know, they're built to kind of withstand it a bit. But there were some like china things on the shelves in this hotel and they'd fallen off and the room was shaking. I didn't wake up.
Wowee.
And in the morning, he said, did you not even notice any? No idea.
And he didn't wake you either?
He didn't wake me, no.
Yeah, ask a few questions about that. He was just outside at the assembly point thinking, it's something with me. Now picked up my phone. Oh, I've left Angela in the room. Now then, we've had a text on something someone slept through. Incredibly, someone hasn't slept through the show.
Not yet. Well, they'll tell us at the end of the show, won't they? Because they'll be asleep right now.
Jill says, morning, I slept. This is a great start to it. I slept through the great storm of 1987.
Oh, do you remember that storm, John?
No.
How old? You would have been very young.
I would have been 5 then.
Yeah. Producer Dan and I were talking about it because I slept through that as well and just woke up, got ready for school the next morning, and my mum said, "What are you doing? Look out the window." And there was just trees, because I was in Kent where it was really, trees in my garden that never used to be there. And
is there anything you haven't slept through?
Not
remarkable,
much.
Really, that you've never been late for a show.
I know, right?
The number of things. We're going to talk about the Britpop Summer 1996, shortly.
I slept through 1996.
Slept through 96, surely. Missed all that.
I don't remember much of it, so it must have been because I was asleep.
Jill did the same, woke up as normal, headed to meet my friend to get the bus to college, but when I got there, she said there were no buses because of the storm. Only then did I realise there were trees down everywhere and all the roads were closed. Keep them coming in. If there's anything you've slept through that you think Angela might not have slept through, that would be nice. 81215 on the text, 03301231215 on WhatsApp, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. On the email, Will's leaving this week, so I'll probably give that a miss, actually, because he doesn't get to it at the best of times. He's certainly not getting to it this week.
Yeah, but Dan will.
Oh, Dan will do it, actually, yeah.
Your emails are more likely to get read than ever now.
That's true. We'll give you Will's personal email before the end of the show. Now, we have one shout-out a week that we do get to. Saturday morning is big time for radio, isn't it? And people celebrating their love for each other. We go a slightly different way. You can love someone, but you got to say something mean about them. We call it I Love You But. It's one dedication a week, and this week it comes from Paul.
Hi, John. Thanks for giving me this week's one and only dedication. This week, I'd like to give it to my best mate, Liam. Liam, thanks for always being there for me and being such a good pal. I do love you, mate, but with the football season starting next week, can you please stop convincing me to stay out for just one more every Saturday after the game? I've really enjoyed my hangover-free Sundays across the summer. We can still go to the pub, of course, but just let me leave after the 5:30 kickoff. Cheers, Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, I really like this one because that's a lad phoning up to go, I love you, mate.
Yeah.
We need more of that in the world.
That's my kryptonite, It's my kryptonite, men being nice to each other, unironically.
You got a little tear in your
eye. Yeah, I don't do that. I do the opposite. Like, oh, you're an idiot, mate. I don't even like you anyway. I love going to the pub with you on a Saturday. Can I just leave when it's done?
Oh.
I also have a friend who drags you out for football. I mean, you like to stay in the pub, don't you, Will? Matt Ford is an absolute nightmare.
Oh, is he?
We had a stand-up row in the street one week because we'd gone out after work and it was like closing time. We'd had a good few and he wanted to go to a certain bar that stayed open late. And I remember him arms out in the street saying, well, we might as well not come out then. It was absolutely fuming.
I've never been a just one more person. Like when we went to Blackpool, you lot wanted to carry on and I went, the hotel is there and I'm getting in my bed.
I have never
worried about missing out. Because nothing good ever happens at the end of a night. It just doesn't. Go to bed.
It does. You just don't remember it. this is for you, Liam, from Paul. I don't know. If I always think if they're willing to stay, then they're staying, aren't they? He's making you sound like it's your fault, but I think Paul is quite happy to stay out with you. And if there's a 12 o'clock game, you might as well just drink through till Sunday. Hey, Angela, do you want to know something nobody's going to sleep through?
Oh, go on, John.
Get your head out of your hands. I'm doing slick radio like you asked me to.
You said be more Partridge. We're doing our best.
Do you want to know something no one's going to sleep through? Absolute Radio Live at the Palladium.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Although I do have my suspicions up in the gods. gets warm up there, doesn't it? It's a Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, if you are going to have a nap, that's the place to go.
I think, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, maybe should we try selling it a different way? Listen, if you want a nap on a Sunday night in a beautiful room...
Oh, the most beautiful
room. Do you want to be able to say, I went to the Palladium Theatre, you might be texting a desperate comedian on a radio station in 10 years' time and say, I slept through some of the best comedians in the UK at the Palladium, but it's fine because it was for charity. You can do it this year. Sunday the 15th of November, I will be hosting alongside Matt Ford, as long as he's still around. You know, hasn't been cancelled. I'm working on it every week, telling stories about him being drunk and shouting at me in the street, but Absolute continue to back him and I salute them for it. I was going to say we announced two more names. We aren't trusted with the big announcements.
No, obviously Angela, that was on Chris McCausland's show.
Chris McCausland announced two big names last week. Chris McCausland being one of them.
Yeah, announcing yourself.
Welcome to the station, but it's a different direction, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it?
Announcing yourself on your own show.
Not
the sort of thing I'd get up to. And of course, Angela Barnes. I haven't even announced you on this show.
No.
Unbelievable. No. But you'll be there, won't you?
I will be there, John. And I'll be awake. At least for the 10 minutes I'm on stage.
Do you feel like we've sort of tempted fate and that now you... If you were to sleep through a gig this year, I do feel like it's going to be that one. Anyway, you may have seen the clip on social media this week of... I think the clip they used was of me saying I've never had a laugh at the Palladium as well.
Yes, I think it was, yeah.
I'm not doing a very good job of selling. Let me just say, if my ineptitude and if my telling you that I'm not funny and if my telling you that you can have a nap there and if my criticising two of the people that have been announced for that gig hasn't made you want to go, let me tell you, it's all for charity. So if you want to raise money for Prostate Cancer UK and be at the gig, it's Sunday the 15th of November. It's always a great night. Get your tickets from absoluteradio.co.uk/tickets. Tony's been in touch from Batley.
Oh, yeah.
Tony from Batley says, MOT... ALAW, Happy Yorkshire Day.
MOT, what?
Marching on together.
Oh, that's the Leeds thing, isn't it?
Oh, Leeds, aren't we? Oh, Leeds, aren't we? I'm such a lad.
You are.
What a laddie.
That's exactly what a lad would say, aren't
that's
I, laddie?
That's what we say at the football. After some of the very rude chanting, we go, ooh, look at me. I don't talk like this at home, you know. Happy Yorkshire Day to all those who celebrate. I'm not from Yorkshire, I feel like.
But you live in Yorkshire.
I live in Yorkshire
you?
And I'm a Leeds fan. But, you know.
You really cross that War of the Roses divide, don't you?
Well,
John?
I just don't think it's a thing. I think you're either Northern or not. That's how I feel. Mm. How do you feel? Oh, no, he's
complete
shaking.
Opposite.
Complete opposite. Yeah. You're very proud Lancastrian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Let the side down.
Oh,
would you
dear.
Like to say anything to anyone celebrating Yorkshire Day today?
Not on the radio, no.
I was at, so the charity football game I played in this week was in Leeds.
Mm.
Lots of Leeds legends there.
Were there?
Very intimidating.
How do you play football in front, like...
Badly.
In front of... Well,
badly,
fair
as it turns
fair
out.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I like to look like I know what I'm doing. I tell you what, off the ball, I'm a wonderful footballer. I know exactly where to stand. I'm good at shepherding. My dream is someone clips a ball down the line and it's going out, but you both run for it and it looks like I've sort of shepherded the ball out, but really there was never any danger of anyone getting... That's the most competent I look on
well,
a football
Well, on your Instagram,
pitch.
You look pretty competent in the pre-match interview, but there's that beautiful photo of you.
The pictures. I was so... Because genuinely, I went there and I thought, if I said, I'm good for about half an hour. I'm very old. There's people there. There's like ex-professional footballers. There's people who like are football agents and stuff who play 90 minutes of football a couple of times a week. I said, I do you half an hour, then I'll go and meet people in the stands or whatever.
Yeah.
Ended up playing an hour. So Ooh. Half an hour first half an hour second half. And I came off and I thought, people were quite nice to me.
Aww.
Simon Grayson, who is the manager who got Leeds promoted out of Leeds.
Oh, is that? You were talking about Simon Grayson earlier and I didn't want to admit that I had
He's
no idea
He's a lovely
who that
fella.
Was.
I've met him a couple of times. I came off and he said, I'll tell you what, Jono, you're making all the right runs. They just weren't seeing you.
That must have been a little boy's dream come true.
Oh, no, I talked to Eddie Gray. Genuinely could have burst into. Eddie Gray is like...
See, in my head, I've got Eddie Grant. Very different vibe.
He is an iconic... He's from that 70s era where Leeds were the best team in the world.
Right.
And came off, he says, oh, you play quite well there, you know, you clip that crossing. I was like, Eddie Gray's just
was
telling me I played a good football. Let me just have my moment.
Sorry, John. Sorry, John.
It was that a wonderful beautiful. Moment. And then I thought, oh, I can't wait to see the pictures, actually, because I thought I'd play. But the pictures are, I must have been sent 100 high-definition pictures of me playing football. There isn't a usable picture. There's not one where I look like a footballer. I look so tired. My posture is horrific. Just constantly
John.
Stooped and so red and exhausted. There's some that I know were from like 5 minutes in because I remember that bit of the game. I look like I've gone back-to-back games. I look like it's extra time and it's about to go to penalties and I'm a put-upon defender who's got to take one. They're horrific, all the photos. Devastated.
I thought it was a good photo. It was just...
It's a photo of me receiving a ball in a region that nobody wants to receive a
yeah,
ball.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, but... You know.
And even the photo looks like it's of a slow motion football game. And I'll tell you the noise. If you look at every photo of me playing football, the noise is, oh. I never look like I'm going, Jono, over here. It's always, oh no.
Oh, please don't come near me.
Oh no. Anyway, it was joyful. It was a lovely afternoon. I met some lovely Aww. People. Have you had a nice week?
I've had a lovely week. Do you
done
know
any,
what?
Done any sport criticising me for not playing tennis?
I've done some weightlifting this week.
Okay, fair dues.
So,
fair
yeah, news. See? Yeah. But I discovered something this week. I was looking through my old Spotify playlist because I love making a playlist.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I used to make CDs and mixtapes and I found one from 2010 that was called Gig.
And it was when I first started doing stand-up. And it was like my get me in the mood to go on stage at a comedy club playlist.
Wow.
And some of the tracks on it really surprised me.
What's on it?
Get in the mood playlist had... it had some sort of bangers like Last Night by The Strokes.
Yeah.
That's Molly's Chambers, Kings of Leon. Hate to Say I Told You So, The Hives. But then it had some sort of Americanos by Holly Johnson. Remember that song?
No.
Do you know what? It was a good tune.
Is it?
Good
tune. Get you in the mood for a gig?
Possibly. I don't know. I don't even remember putting that on there, but it's on there. There's No Other Way, Blur, Debaser, Pixies.
It's a nice playlist.
It's a good playlist, isn't it?
It's nice to find them as well, because in the old days you'd have found a tape and now you've just got the playlist.
Yeah.
So, and you know, you're not someone historically who likes waking up for stuff, so glad to see you've got music to get you in the mood. We've got some cracking texts coming in on stuff you've slept through. Somebody who slept through an oil depot explosion and two hurricanes and then was taken to the doctors to see if there was a problem with their sleep. So if you can keep them light, that would be much appreciated.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to John Richardson on Absolute Radio with Angela Barnes and the Cerberus production team, Izzy, Dan and Will.
That'd be a good name for a production company.
Cerberus.
Yeah. There you go, guys.
That's a bit Partridge, though, as well, isn't it, I think? Just got a new production company called Cerberus. Now, if you notice a slight change in tone during this middle hour of
feeling
the show...
Feeling a bit crazy, John.
Regular listeners will know that last week there was some chat in the studio about how easy it would be to eat 15 fish fingers and break the world record in a minute.
Those people last week were foolish.
Those people really were confident. And if you want to find out whether Angela and Will succeeded in their attempt, which we've just carried out, we thought it'd be best not to do it on air because, well, rightly, it was quite unpleasant to listen to. That will be on this week's podcast. So if you want to download the podcast of this week's show, you will find out what happened there. But just letting you know why there might be a little bit more burping into the microphone. And you know, if Angela sounds a bit more contrite, not to give too much away. But we've just had the news headlines here on Absolute. So we discussed news that wasn't in the news, that could, would, or should have been in the news. Might make the world seem a little bit better.
Yeah.
What have you seen this week?
This is sort of on the back of, I think it was 2 weeks ago when I just mentioned in passing that I drive a Toyota Yaris. Mm. Will's laughing because I said drive.
Drive? I drive a Yaris.
I drive it down the West Country, I do. And you thought that was funny, Will, that I drive a Yaris for some reason. And then I found there's a festival in Lincolnshire at Grimsthorpe Castle that is apparently in its 12th year. I'd never heard of it. It's called the Festival of the Unexceptional. We should definitely get a slot at that, shouldn't we, John?
I'm not being funny.
Yeah. Precisely. The world's most boring festival, and it's for unexceptional cars.
Oh, I love this.
Right? Isn't it brilliant? The champion this year was Gordon McNeil, who has a 2001 Volkswagen Polo E, which is the only car he's ever owned. He's had it for 20 years and he's racked up 176,000 miles.
I love it when they're still going.
So
and
do
been
I.
Really looked
but
after.
People actually and repair them themselves. You know, they're not all computerized and you can't do it anymore. Like a car that's just before that.
That's the key, isn't it? You've got to be able to look after a car, which I can't.
Yeah, no, me neither, really.
You've got to be of that generation, because if I'm driving with my daughter sometimes, I'll say, my God, look at that, that's a Ford Sierra G-Wrench.
Oh, lovely.
Doesn't mean a thing to her. Absolutely.
Do you know what I love? A car that's still got a choke.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Will's never used a choke.
Will's never used a choke. You ever used a choke, Will?
A what? See? Look at him looking at you.
Absolutely clueless.
No idea.
It was in a car. It was how you got a car started. You had to decide how much energy went to the engine early doors.
Mm.
You had to sort of balance it. You had to give it more to get it started.
It's like the first car.
Oh. Yeah, it's like what happened. It had little wheels in the bottom, little holes rather, and you put your feet through.
Yeah,
and then you'd run. Yeah,
that's it. And you had to choke the pelican to make the horn noise.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
how you
did it. I've seen that on the telly. Yeah.
So where's this thing, Grimsthorpe?
This is in Grimsthorpe Castle in Lincolnshire.
I don't want to overload our calendar for next year, Dan.
But we should definitely be going.
If it's possible to come live from the festival of the Festival of the Mundane?
Festival of Unexceptional Cars.
Yeah, if we could go there. I don't know whether we do that on the way back from the World PowerPoint presentation.
No, the World Excel.
Excel spreadsheet, sorry, Vegas.
Yeah,
I'm bang up for it.
It says every year thousands of fans travel from across the world for the festival. How have we missed this, John? This is so up our alley.
It's humiliating, isn't it, when you're trying to sell gigs. Someone's flying in from the furthest reaches of the planet just to see an old escort. Never mind. Right, we're discussing news that wasn't in the news, that could, would or should have been in the news. We've discussed boring old cars. It seems a harsh word, doesn't it?
It does, because they're just lovely and nostalgic. I love seeing an old car.
The sort of cars nobody cared enough to look after in
the
main.
What's really upsetting, though, is that we're talking about boring old cars that people have looked after for years and years, and it's from 2001.
Yeah, that's
when
true.
When I was 25.
Yeah, there is a bit of that. Do you want, you know, you get these cafes or you get like a park bench and it'll say, I sat on one once and didn't realise what it was. And it says on the plaque, sit here if you want someone to talk to.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, well, perhaps you like this one. This is in Wanstead. A climate cafe in Wanstead is offering a space for people to come and be miserable with each other.
Yes, please.
You go in there and you can have a good old whinge. The sessions run for an hour and a half. And you just go in there, you have a whinge, everyone has the opportunity to speak without interruption. That's
never
the
get
joy,
you out
isn't
of
it?
There, will we? You can't, they can't let you in there, John.
I could filibuster that place. I'll do an hour and a half.
And he's the new producer and he says I'm not funny.
It is specifically, it's a climate cafe, so it's specifically you can go and you can be very negative about the environment and get it off your chest if you're a little bit worried and you feel you can't say it in other spaces. So it's where you can go and just have a good old rant, and then people, you find often people...
Oh, John, I bet you'd make some friends in there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
I think that
you should get down there, mate.
I'd be the one where they change it. You go, actually, it's getting too negative now. See, we're not licensed, and what you're saying is it's not making people want a cup of tea.
Yeah.
They're tending to be nipping round the corner for a pint. Hour and a half, speak without interruption. This is the quote I love. It's surprisingly energising to be extremely miserable with other people.
Well, that's not news to you, is it, John?
I've been saying it for years. Let's just get in there, let's talk about how terrible everything is, and let's just be miserable and then go home.
I think if you face up to negativity in that way...
Yeah.
Then you can only be pleasantly surprised. That's how I like to live my life. But people may think I'm a pessimist, but if you expect the worst, then you're only going to get nice surprises.
Let me have a think about that one. If you expect the worst, you're only... not to be the negative guy, but sometimes you can expect the worst and it happens and you don't get a nice surprise.
Yeah, but you've expected that, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But
so
if
then you're delighted.
If something unexpected happens, it's going to be good because you've expected the worst.
Oh...
See? It's like why bad dreams are good. Bad dreams are good because you wake up and go, brilliant. You have a good dream, you wake up and go, oh, my life's terrible.
I'm not sure it's where I expected this link to end, but I think I've come away from it thinking that I need to be more negative.
Oh, dear.
Is that possible?
Oh, no, I've created a monster.
I think, if anything, I'm too chipper.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, here we go. Right, we're going to talk about things you've slept through shortly, and, of course, the literal police will be back this hour too. I won't name names. Somebody in the studio slept through Radiohead and somebody in the studio slept through the basketball at the Olympics.
Ooh.
Quite good. I think they're both quite good ones.
Yeah,
they're quite
yeah.
big events, aren't they? I feel left out.
What, because you don't sleep through things?
I just don't think I don't sleep through sleep.
Oh, John.
Let alone events. But some of these are absolutely incredible. When you're at like a massive... I can understand like... I'll nod off if I'm watching the, you know, something like... Formula One, I find oddly soporific. I think it's the
How dare you?
Maybe not these. If I'm watching at home, but it's that. It becomes sort of white noise after a while, doesn't it?
I'm not taking that.
No, am I upsetting you?
I find football soporific.
Well, that's to be in a crowd. So somebody says in 1992 or 3, I slept through the second half of Crystal Palace versus Newcastle at Selhurst Park.
That's quite impressive.
To sleep around 40,000
screaming people. But again, white noise, I suppose, in a way, it just becomes...
Yeah.
I felt that when we went to the darts. Like, so I thought, how can they... It's the only sport, apart from football, but I've seen where it's one person concentrating on a thing and there's so much noise. Because you watch snooker or the tennis, it's silence when they're...
Yes.
But you said it's just white noise to them. And actually, it's distracting if somebody whistles or does something that's...
The whistling gets them.
Yeah.
Because you had a couple of whistles, didn't you?
Oh, don't. No, I don't.
You did
dare.
You?
No, I did not.
How dare no, you?
You behaved impeccably.
That's slander.
I like this one. This is somebody in 1980 went out to a jazz funk night. I mean, of course, it was 1980. What else are you going to be doing apart from go out to a jazz funk night? I just wasn't aware that my mum and dad had also gone out. So when I got home, I crept around, locked the house up. And when they got home, they couldn't get in. And they couldn't wake her up, so I ended up sleeping in the car. Imagine your mum and dad sleeping in the car because you've locked them out. That's Linda from Cambridge.
Nice.
Have they forgiven you yet?
I don't know if... I feel like I'm quite down with the kids, and the I think I feel like our listenership are like the young hip dudes.
Who's going to tell him?
There's been a lot of the one we've just had in says I once slept through an air raid siren. I feel like I don't feel like I'm that guy, am I? Well, I remember during the war, it was an abandoned one just down the road, which some kids decided to poke sticks at and set it off. Woke up in the morning to the whole family tired and talking about it, but I never heard a thing.
Wow.
And Kath has given some context about why she thinks people of a certain age are able to sleep. Have you got that one?
Have I got that one? Oh, yes. Yeah, well, it's a good point.
It is a good point.
And I can relate to this.
Yeah.
He says, hi, John. If you grew up as a kid in the 80s and was ever put down to sleep across a makeshift bed made up of two chairs pushed together, we've all been there. And I love that she mentions as well, particularly that it was in a pub, bar or holiday clubhouse. I have definitely slept on two chairs pushed together in a bar at Pontins, for sure.
Yeah.
Then you'll sleep through anything. I think you're right, Kath. Do kids still... They don't sleep in pubs anymore, do they? They don't. They run around pubs making a noise now.
Yeah, it's gone too far, this parenting, hasn't it? You can't even take your kids to the pub for a nap anymore. Absolutely ridiculous. Keep those coming in, 81215 on the text, 03301231215 on WhatsApp, John at absoluteradio.co.uk on email. It's time for the Literal Police on Absolute Radio. It's the show's ongoing effort to stamp out the misuse of the word literally. It goes on and on, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, John?
When will it ever end?
Never, John, never.
Now we have a new officer joining the force.
Okay.
Producer slash Officer Dan. And
sounds like a cartoon character. Officer Dan.
Officer Dan, it does, doesn't it?
I like it.
Do you want to do it?
I feel like I should say good morning.
you're now taking over from Will as second in command at the Literal Police. So we thought this week you basically nominate anyone you like. So
I thought I'd better go big.
Yeah.
Get this guy in prison done.
Yeah.
Out the way.
All right. Yeah. Let's hear the clip.
Do you have any suspicions or worries? Do you think we know the whole story about his death?
Well, I think we do. We've had great doctors, and they talked about, you know, a certain part of his body literally blew up. And that's a condition I believe his father had also.
Matt Ford.
Yes.
Yeah, really interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah.
You have gone big, haven't you? Can we lock him up? Succeed where others have failed?
Well, I don't know the context, and it sounds quite tense, but I'm guessing it's not somebody who just a part of their body blew up.
No, I mean, he's talking about one of his closest colleagues in government.
Right.
So he cared a lot. He cared enough to go straight on the telly and explain it that way.
When he says blew up, though, does he mean like blew up like a balloon is blown up, just swollen?
Well, not the way he says it, I don't think.
I'm just going to just congratulate you, Angela, on being the one to stick up for Donald Trump.
Well,
it's an angle nobody's taking.
I might want to visit America at some point, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Do you think they're listening? I think, well, what we're going to do... You can't. I don't think a part of their body literally blew up, and I think as a welcome to the force, it's got to be done. Welcome along. Next, and thank you for your work hunting down for 3 hours a clip of somebody commentating on sport saying a runner was literally on fire. And
you couldn't find it.
That is
dedication. 3 hours he spent trying to find that clip.
I tell you what's insane as well, as somebody who watches a lot of sport, you'd struggle to watch any sport for 3 hours and not hear a literal offence.
Yeah, that's true.
So you've been really unlucky. I know Will's wasted a lot of his time in the past watching entire games, and it turns out, no.
No, none at all.
Now, the next offence comes from a source very close to home, obviously, as Officer Will is leaving. It was time for a bit of a refresh, wasn't it? And a few background checks on the new and also existing members of the team, just to make sure.
Oh, right. Are we being... Okay.
You just got to make sure we're all of a standard. It's unfair to hold Dan to account when we're not looking at ourselves as well. So,
I don't like where this is going, John.
With this, we found an unpunished literal offence on I can't believe there's a podcast about this, but apparently there's a gardening podcast.
Oh, no.
I mean, incredibly dry.
Just because I do a gardening podcast with the other Richardson.
Oh, do you think it's yours?
Well,
oh,
I'm
hang on, it is. Yeah, I've just read forward.
Oh, funny
oh I
that,
didn't know. A gardening podcast called A Little Bit Green with Matt Richardson and Angela Barnes. Mm. And here's a clip from an episode called Gardening with Cara.
We're not fast nice. Where we are now.
I'm in Warwickshire, so I'm in Stratford-upon-Avon.
It's only 35 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm just outside Bicester.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Literally down the road.
Yeah.
Literally down the road.
There we go. We could have done this all in the same garden.
I know, that would have been lovely. Next time.
Well, it is literally down the road, if the road is the A43. Is it the A43?
What are we talking, Bicester to where? I missed where
Bicester
she was
to Warwick.
From.
I looked it up. It's 52 minutes. You have to go on the A439, the A46 onto the M40.
All right, Dad.
And then the B4100.
It's a big opener, isn't it? He's imprisoned Donald Trump and then he's got all his road chat out.
Yeah.
It's a really
done the,
big...
He's done the maths on this and everything. I mean, this is a big old marking
you know
territory,
that
this.
That's a guy who learned to drive with a choke. That's
yeah,
what that
right?
is. That's
absolutely.
The sort of knowledge of the work that goes into a drive. Obviously, you know, you're here. It would be unfair not to let you put some sort of defence. You've just defended Donald Trump. Will you defend Matt Richardson with the same energy?
Well, was it Matt or Cara? It was Cara who said it, wasn't it? I want to say Cara is absolutely brilliant. Gardening with Cara on Instagram. If you like gardening, follow Gardening with Cara. And listen to our podcast if you're a beginner and you want to know about the stuff that you're too scared to ask experts, because we're not experts, but it's
what
for
I
beginner
will say
gardeners.
Is there's so many prisoners now, we could actually do with some sort of scheme to get them out. You know,
yeah.
Get some gardens going. So there's a little bit of unused space in the literal prison.
Well, let's put Cara in literal prison, but she can run workshops.
Lovely. I love the smile with which you said that. I really thought you were going to fight for her more then. Let's get her in literal prison,
Cara,
and she can get the herb garden going. So that's Cara and Donald Trump in. If you spot an offence, reach out to the literal police. John at absoluteradio.co.uk. So it's that time of the show when we turn to you, Angela, for what we call Angela Yarns, where you tell us a little story.
That's right.
Something that's happened from your life.
Yes. Well, we've mentioned already my gardening podcast.
We have, yes.
Today.
Green.
A little bit green. And so this is a gardening-related yarn today.
And we have had a gardening-related yarn, haven't we, about the goats that you can hire
that's
to
right. Well,
cut
this
your
is
grass.
Thematically quite similar, actually.
Mm-hmm. She's run out of ideas. Yeah. She's run out of ideas.
Well, see what you think. See what you think.
Yeah.
So I've had an aphid problem in my garden.
Mm-hmm.
Little black
green
aphids,
flight.
Like little black ones, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I've been reading about how to deal with them in an organic way, because I don't want to use pesticides in my garden.
Good.
And
I feed that stuff to my hamster.
What? Aphids?
No, your spinach.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Me
yes,
some spinach
you do.
For
yes,
leaf,
yes,
didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, that's
don't
right.
You? No,
so
don't ruin it.
I
well.
Don't want to be giving don't. Leaf pesticides, because if I do that, she won't be saying spinach. This. Lovely.
Isn't that the good stuff?
It's the gap in the middle. I have to wait for the humiliation of the last bit.
Is that the good stuff? Not if it's covered in aphids, no.
Just absolute. She'd rather have spinach than a mealworm, I'll tell you that.
Wow. She liked my spinach, didn't she?
Cleaned
she did. She liked my spinach from my garden.
She's all clean at home now.
Good to know.
She's changed where she sleeps anyway. We'll talk about it off air.
Do you want to do the yarn? It just sounds like you.
Sadly, it's true.
So, back to my aphids.
Back to your aphids.
So, I was reading on how best to deal with them, and the answer was ladybird larva. Like, if you can buy ladybird larva, because they'll eat the aphids. But the problem I've got, John, is ants are farming the aphids. You know ants do that? They farm the aphids. So what ants will do is aphids secrete this sugary sap stuff, and ants love it. Nom, nom, nom. And so what they do, they don't eat the aphids.
Good ant impression, if you're not familiar with what an ant is.
They will fight off other predators to keep the aphids alive. So these ant armies come and get rid of the... So I had to buy adult ladybirds, because they can, the ants won't fight with them like they will with a larva.
Yeah.
So I had arrive in the post 25 living adult ladybirds, and then
So Matt, my husband, and I went around the garden putting them on the affected plants. And
no,
every,
you didn't.
And we also bought a ladybird house, a little wooden ladybird house for them to live in. And immediately we put the ladybirds on the plant, each one of them just flew away. Just went. So I spent
£50
on just relocating some ladybirds. And none of my aphids have been eaten.
That's so my yarn. The yarn is that you're daft enough to have bought winged creatures and believed that they would understand the mission.
Yes.
Now, guys, I need you to just eat these bits here, and then that's your house there.
Yeah.
Okay. This week's story is that you ordered £50 worth of ladybirds.
Well, and a ladybird house.
And
came
a ladybird
£50
house,
altogether.
Yeah, of course. It would be an accident.
Was that including delivery?
Huh?
Was that included?
That's
delivery?
Including delivery. Mm.
So yours was a financial worry, was it, Will?
Yeah, I don't know how much ladybirds would cost if they could be posted. And ethically, if you're upset about pesticides, are you okay with ladybirds being shipped?
That's not what he said off air, though, is it?
No, no.
What he said off air was £2 a bird.
No, it's just popped into my head now. Just a second.
Okay, interesting, Dan.
It's worthy of a ladybird book, isn't it? A ladybird storybook. I don't think people collect ladybirds and sell them. It just doesn't sound right to me.
Nobody's. Is he going to be the voice that says, hang on, I think Angela is this stupid?
Well, I did some financial research off the back of Will's comment. You can get 50 ladybirds for between £20 and £75. Wow. And you strike me as the sort of person that would go for middle-of-the-range ladybirds.
Wow.
That's the most curious insult we've ever had on the show.
Wow.
I'm going to be thinking about that on Thursday.
Does that mean?
Middle-of-the-range. Yeah. Right.
Do you know what you look
appraisal,
like?
Izzy?
You look like one of the people who buy middle-of-the-range ladybirds.
I could have said low-range ladybirds.
Yeah. I'm not low-rent when it comes to ladybirds. No. You're right.
So based on that, I think it's true.
Izzy says true. Dan says
no.
Yarn. Will says,
I think, I don't believe it's the pesticides and transporting live animals thing. I'm not having that, so I'm going to go yarn as well.
I'm sort of in the middle because I think you are the sort of person that would Google how much ladybirds were to put it in a yarn to make it more believable. And I think Izzy's fallen right into your trap. But do you think maybe you thought you could let them out and they'd all just like have a big dinner, and even if they did fly off, they'd have dealt with the aphids that were there. So I'm going to say, interesting, I think it might be true, but because then it'll be 2-2 and that's tedious, I'm going to say yarn. So there's 3-1 yarn. Angela, what happened?
It's true. It's goodness. Absolutely true. We put them on the plant and they immediately flew away. And we went, I didn't really think about that.
Sorry,
it never occurred
still there,
to you.
And the ants are still farming them.
It had never occurred to you that they would just fly straight off?
No.
No.
I sort of had, but obviously this is a thing people do, and I've done all the research, and you buy them, and they come in like little package, and they're sort of sleepy when they arrive, and you have to wake them up, and then you put them on the...
So you have to put breakfast on for them?
Yeah.
Did them a fry
you have to. What you do, you have to spray where you're putting them, because they're thirsty when they come out of the packaging.
Right.
So you spray where you're putting them, and then you put them on the wet leaves, and every single one just went, see ya.
Have they relocated from somewhere sort of cold and northern at least? So they get to Brighton, they'll be like, do you know what? It was a horrific journey.
They've come
least,
to the sea. We're at the seaside.
At least now we live by the sea. Do you know where they came from?
I don't, actually, no.
Okay, well, I mean, absolutely staggering. I don't know what to say other than it's a wonderful, wonderful story and you've genuinely gone down in my estimation.
If you are a ladybird, though, if you want to come and live in my garden, I've got a house ready for you. It's completely empty. Come and move in. You're welcome.
Well, what an offer. And I'm still thinking about what it means that you're the sort of person that would buy mid-price ladybirds. a real roller coaster for Angela Barnes on the text as a result of the news that she did spend £50 on ladybirds that then flew away straight away.
When you say it, it sounds so obvious.
Yeah.
I honestly, when I thought about this, I thought, I'm going to do this for Angela's yarns. I thought, is it a bit too obviously true? Apparently not, no.
No, and it makes the ladybirds tax deductible, I suppose, for her work expense. Steve from High Wycombe, straight in. I had the same experience, bought ladybirds to control aphids, then watched in horror. So that makes you think maybe you're not alone. And then two texts almost arriving simultaneously from Cookie in Swindon and Graham saying, would these be homing ladybirds? And apparently it's a well-known scam that the ladybirds fly back home and are resold by the same person over and over again.
Well, we did the maths. They came from a place in Suffolk,
mm-hmm,
and worked out that as the ladybird flies,
yeah,
that's 91 miles to my house, and that ladybirds apparently in one go can fly 75 to 100 miles.
Wow.
So maybe it's a scam.
Absolutely done. Absolutely done. And deservedly so. We've had some amazing texts about things you've slept through and a voice note as well. This has come in from Carl.
I slept through a 3-hour plane delay on the plane, and when I woke up, the plane hadn't even left the runway on our way to New York, and then we still had a 9-hour flight.
But that's the thing to sleep through, right?
Oh, absolutely. No, you'd be fuming because you want to sleep through the flight.
Flight.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I can't sleep
thinking,
on a plane. So.
Are we there yet? No, we haven't left. Amazing text from Carl there, given that he's clearly not listening to the show, given the volume of his telly in the background. So quite now, he knows what we're talking about. Marvin says, my brother Elton can beat sleeping through an earthquake. When he was younger, our mother would hoover his bedroom, pull his bed out, hoover behind it, and push it back without him waking up. On a stag do in Edinburgh, he was on a bed in our room. We pushed it out the door, tipped it up sideways to get it through, pushed him down the corridor, and he was sound asleep.
Wow.
Sarah in Sheffield, have you got that one? I like that one.
Sarah in Sheffield.
Sound less bitter coming from you than me.
I can't find it,
John. Got married in Vegas.
Oh, okay, yeah, got married in Vegas. And for some reason, my husband thought I'd enjoy front row tickets to see Blue Man Group. I've never really seen the appeal of... Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Neither did Sarah.
I couldn't keep my eyes open and fell asleep about 15 minutes in. We are no longer married. Was it that what did it?
Yeah, I think it's a bad start, isn't it? I thought you'd like Blue Man Group. Did you? Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear. We've made a mistake. Totally Awake Pete slept through two root fillings at Leeds Dental Hospital.
Aye, aye, aye.
And you'll like this one. Andrea in Lincoln said, I slept at the Formula One in Hungary 5 years ago today.
No, you didn't.
She did. And somebody's texted in, say, olive oil, milk, bread, ham, yoghurt. How do you text your shopping list to a radio station?
I genuinely have.
Absolutely baffled as to how that can be a thing. But thank you for whoever that is. We've had a lovely speculation and we think they're having a chicken tagine.
Although the cheese slice has thrown me.
The cheese slice,
and
yeah.
They put lattice. I think they mean lettuce.
There's ham and bread on there as well. I think they're doing a big tagine for a late lunch and they're just going to have cheese
buffet
and ham sandwiches for lunch. Oh, anyway, yeah. If you've got a shopping list, text it in 81215 or 03012315. Coming up, we will have the naming of the podcast for this week, something to do with fish fingers, I'm sure, and the end of show appraisals. All right, we reached the end of another.
What's up?
I'm trying to move away from okie dokie. Experimenting with new ways of coming off the back of a record, and that one will not be used again.
I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it, John.
Now then, okie dokie.
If you haven't been with us for the full 3 hours today and you'd like to hear it back, there's a podcast available on the Rayo app or where you get your podcasts. Angela, this week it will be called...
Well, I think either Mid-Range Podcast.
Mid-Range Podcast, yeah.
Or after my father-in-law's feedback, mm-hmm, should we say... The John Richardson Show, it's not for Brian.
Yeah, all right. Not for Brian will do. That's available. We always end with an appraisal of one another's performances. This week it will be dominated by the fact that, of course, this is Will's last show. He's moving on to another show. Dan, I'll go to you first. Is there anything you'd like to say about Will?
Well, as I feel like as my career trajectory plummets, yours is... I'm hitting a
not
soft
taken,
landing.
Mate. Not taken.
I think you're heading in the opposite direction and amazing things are going to happen and all the best to you.
Yeah. Basically, well done for getting out of this sinking ship. Is the vibe there. Is he?
I've just got to say, I think we've formed a very special bond over the three times we've met. but my lasting memory of you will be you not being able to eat more than four fish fingers.
Oh,
spoiler alert for the podcast. tune in to find out. Maybe Angela did 23
knows?
Or whatever.
Who knows?
Angela?
Well, Will, I mean, you've been quite demob happy today, which is nice to see. You're in a very good mood. What I'll take away with me is from today's show, the excitement you had while eating a banana. You were very excited. You had a banana that looked like a proper banana, a cartoon banana, you called it. Yeah, and I thought to myself, do you know what? That's the gift that this show has given Will, that he now can get excited about fruit.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't think old Will would have done, but we've given that to him.
We have, yeah. One banana a week, as long as it looks like a cartoon banana. And I would say Debs would be delighted to hear that, but she's busy packing up your flat.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll enjoy your last day at work, which I think is remarkable.
Absolutely. There's no way my mum would have driven across the country to come pack my stuff and then drive it back.
She'd do it while I was at work, but if I then said, and you're right to hang on for a few hours while I get leathered after work. That might be the point she intervened. It's been an absolute pleasure, Will. I think I speak for Angela.
I think we're quite choked, aren't we?
We are.
Honestly speaking, we are quite choked, and it's been a joy.
And from Kerry and everyone and Lindsay and everyone, you've made the show what it is. You've set a tone which is unbeatable. I'm delighted for you that you're getting your Saturdays back. Going to Mondays to Fridays means you can follow Torquay more, albeit from further away. I will look out for their results and, just be praying that it's another playoff defeat. it's more than anything, it's been an absolute pleasure spending Saturday mornings with you. It's been a joy turning up and seeing you every Saturday morning and having a laugh. At least one. We've had one a week, I think. But good luck with everything. Laura's here as well. Good luck with your future endeavours. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Just thank you, I think, is the main thing to both of you. Like I said, to Kerry, to Lindsay, to Susie, to Rasheen, and Izzy, Charlie, everyone else who's worked on the show. Dan, who I think has done a brilliant job since he came in. But most of all, and you're going to hate me for this because it's cheesy, but genuinely to the listener, because the amount of times I've asked for voice notes that someone just doesn't want to do, and they've been kind enough to send something back. I genuinely believe that's what makes the show what it is. Yeah. So thank you to them, and thank you to you too as well.
Thank you very much.
Keep doing it for De Beers.
Keep doing it for De Beers, and I hope you've got a lovely south-facing garden as well. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday on Absolute Radio. It's John Richardson saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Angela, goodbye. Izzy, goodbye. Dan, goodbye. And Will, good luck. We will see you again.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Right then, here we go. So that was this week's podcast. As a little treat for you, a little bonus, here is Will and Angela's attempt.
Are we filming this?
I don't know. It can't end like this, can it?
Well, do you decide?
You made this happen, Will. This is entirely your fault.
Do you know how this ends? With you nailing 15 in 45 seconds, vaulting the desk to finish Angela's last five. You get carried aloft to your next job.
So is it who eats
imagine
most
the
in a minute?
Swagger.
Yeah, well, the aim is 15, I think, isn't it?
Walking into your next job. They go, this is our new producer. Well, guess how many fish fingers he had last week? the world record is 15. That's what you proudly said you could do without. So it's 1 minute. I'll set a timer now. And all I'll say is good luck, and just in future, just think about the things you say, especially on air.
Are these bird's eye?
They are, yeah.
I don't feel like it.
You absolute liar.
They are. That's polished.
The same for his own brand, Lisa.
Right, 3, 2, 1, go. Both warm.
Oh, they're dry.
Oh, they're dry, says Angela. There can't be this much chewing, guys, I tell you. I watched the video of the guy who's done it. Oh, some water for Angela. I think she's on 2, is it? Is that the second one or is that the third? Oh, it looks so unhappy. Will's got tears in his eyes. Okay, guys, you're 25 seconds in, so you want to be about 7 or 8 fish fingers in now, ideally. I think, what, you're on 4 each? Will looks like he's stopping. Angela looks really upset.
Come on, Will. You can do it.
Come on, Will. Angela's on 12. Angela's on her 14th fish finger.
This is awful.
This is so bad.
Sorry, that's a minute.
Okay. And that's a minute, guys. So, I don't remember the guy who did 15 saying that. I'll give you a minute to finish the fish finger that you're on, and then we're going to have a conversation about whether we ever acknowledge world records on this show ever again. You both are physically crying. And they're laughing now, but I'll tell you, that minute was not a happy minute.
Oh, man.
That was awful.
That's really...
That was so bad.
You know, I said fish fingers weren't claggy.
Yeah, you did.
I lied.
Claggy?
Claggy.
Yeah.
They're worse than Ferrero Rochers.
No, they're not.
They are.
Trust me, it's the person in this room who's done both.
Oh, Christ.
How many you got left, Will?
Oh, don't worry about it.
I've got eight left, so I did... What's that
you
mean?
You did seven.
I did seven.
Wow.
And, Angela, how many have you got under your jumper?
Oh, Dan! I did four.
You did four.
I did four.
Do you at least get the pride of saying that you've beaten Angela Barnes?
How many's left in there, Dan?
You can't even look at them, can you?
Oh, I feel sick. I shouldn't have the banana before.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, so you did four as well.
No, three.
Okay.
That's
well,
pathetic.
Angela Barnes is the undisputed champion. I don't think you get to celebrate eating four fish fingers.
Champion!
If that is the barometer for celebration, then six-year-olds up and down the country are going to be unbearable this weekend.
That is a fish finger every 15 seconds. Just saying.
Listen to the clawing back of some dignity, having failed once again to get even within 25% of a world record-breaking performance. Will, I wish it was ending a different way, but you look like you're about to vomit. Good luck with all your future endeavours.
Thanks, mate. Sorry it's ended like this.
Oh, Will, we are going to miss you.
Yeah.
I feel quite... Will can't wait to get out of here now.
After that, I don't know anymore.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. See the difference a Dan makes next week on the John Richardson Show. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Angela.
Oh, sorry, I burped.
Yeah, email John at absoluteradio.co.uk. I'll tell you what, maybe some Guinness World Record holders that aren't eating, because we are not good. Bye-bye.